A joy to be in God's house today. We do want to welcome you to the services here at Meridian Baptist Church. As always, it's a joy to be in God's house. And today is a special day for Mother's Day. And so just a few moments, we'll be taking time out in our service to acknowledge all of the ladies present on this special day. Before we have our opening prayer, though, I do want to mention just a couple of prayer concerns just to keep everyone informed of what's going on within the church family. I do want to mention that Miss Ann Ballinger is being moved to Morning Point in Powell, and so continue to pray for Miss Ann as she continues to recuperate and get better each step of the way. Miss Lou Jones is back in the hospital, so let's pray for Miss Lou. I'm assuming that's at Fort Sanders, is that correct? So let's continue to pray for Miss Lou. And then Randy Bergen, who is here today but's had some health issues in recent weeks, let's continue to pray for Brother Randy. And then one of our newer members, Rocky Hall. You may remember Rocky and Sue Hall, who joined just a few Sundays ago. Rocky broke his leg a couple days ago, so let's pray for Rocky. He's got a long road ahead of him as well. And then we've been praying for Chrissy Johnson's brother, Jim Cooper, and so he's at Vanderbilt in Nashville. Let's continue to pray for his progress. So a lot going on there. I do want to mention Jerry and Shirley Bates just shared with me that Jerry might possibly have to go to Vanderbilt. They're waiting on some more information, so let's continue to pray for that situation as well. So a lot going on in the church family, but let's begin this morning with a word of prayer as we dedicate.
Don't forget the video.
That's right, we have a video. Thank you so much, brother. Do you want to do the video first?
Let's do the video.
Okay, good deal. Thank you, Brother Dennis.
I'm so bored. I wish I had something to do.
Thanks for letting me sleep in, kids.
If you make a mess in the kitchen, please let me know so I can clean it up. Raising kids is so easy.
I just love driving around all day.
Oh, I never have to repeat myself. They always listen so carefully.
Oh, look. An empty box of cereal.
Love it. Just wipe it on your sleeve.
It's pretty cold, but you don't need a coat.
Oh, you don't have to push in your chair.
Don't make your bed. You're just gonna sleep in it again later.
I think I'll skip the coffee today.
You know, these throw pillows look way better on the floor.
I'm really not that busy. Well, you haven't showered in 3 days, but I think you smell great.
We do have food at home, but let's just go out to eat.
Just brush your teeth whenever you feel like it. Here, take my phone charger and go put it in your room. Oh, just leave your dirty dishes on the counter.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, let's all pull out our phones.
Youth sports are so cheap.
Braces are so cheap.
School fees are so cheap. Hey, can you come crawl in bed with me around 2 a.m.? Thanks.
Okay, I just spent 2 hours making dinner, but if you don't like it, that's fine. Just let me know and I'll make you something else.
Don't even bother looking for that. I'm sure it's lost and gone forever.
Can somebody please throw something at my head? I mean, I can keep track of every single one of your things. I get a ton of sleep. I get a ton of gratitude from my children. I get a ton of unsolicited help with the housework. Oh, you don't have to hurry up. We're gonna be right on time. Can someone please throw something at the TV? Thanks for doing the laundry, everyone.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you use your outside voice?
Fight, fight, fight!
The floor of this vehicle is so clean, I can't believe it.
Oh, good. Another trip to the grocery store today. Let's go. Hey, I'm gonna hop in the shower. Does somebody want to come use the bathroom while I'm in here?
I think we all can relate to that. Let's all stand together as we dedicate this service to the Lord and celebrate Mother's Day together, and most importantly, celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are forever grateful for the privilege that we have that we can come to you and just worship you in spirit and in truth, just as the scriptures teach. And Father, as we take time out this morning to acknowledge our mothers, Lord, we're so thankful for the ladies that you have put in our life, that you've woven into the tapestry of our story. And Father, we ask that today, as we celebrate their journeys and their impact upon us, that you would receive the glory and praise. Lord, it's not about the moms. It's not about Meridian Baptist Church. Most importantly, it's about Jesus. And so, Lord, we give you the honor and the glory. Father, I also pray if there's someone here today that has never been saved, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. Father, we love you and we praise you, and we ask this in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Remain standing if you will.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood, and this is
just the girls on this next day.
Sisters, will you join?
Come on down, y'all, for the children's story. Careful. Don't fall. All good. Back up. Right in front of you. You're good. You're good. Okay. I got a bag of stuff today. I can see, but he's good. He made it. He don't need a vet. He's not bleeding. He's good. All right, here we go. So it's Happy Mother's Day. Did you guys tell your mamas Happy Mother's Day or your grandmas or whoever's in charge of you at home? Did you tell them that already? I hope so. I hope so. Okay, so I have some objects in my bag. Can you help me? I'm so sorry. It looks like it's healing, though. Okay, first, what's this? Ew. You don't like your veggies? You don't like your veggies? Those are green beans. Those are the best because those are from my grandpa. Those are some of the last ones he made. You choke on green beans? What's this? A thermometer. Okay. Let me get another one out. Okay, what's this? Come on, boys. You know what this is. Yes, it's a Nintendo Switch controller. Okay. You can't have it. Okay. What about this? Oh, it's a TV remote. Okay, there you go. So how many of you guys like green beans? Oh, good. What about Brussels sprouts? Lima beans? Yummy, yummy. Okay, well, you may not like them, right? But moms know that the nutrition is more important than your taste buds, by the way. Okay, good. They know you need a variety of vegetables, and Brussels sprouts and green beans and all these things are good for you, even if they aren't good tasting and you choke on them, okay? I did that with broccoli when I was a kid. Now I love it. It's one of my favorites. So, and that's because my dad made me, because I live with my dad. But mom says she loves us by serving us vegetables. And moms can use that thermometer because they want to show us that they can love well, right? It can be nerve-wracking waiting on that thermometer and thinking, do I get to go to school today or not, right? But, yikes, I have to go to the doctor, and then I might have to get a shot, so that might be a little. But mom cares for us when we're sick, right? And also, that remote control, she might show her love with that, and you say, how? Because she might turn off your favorite TV show because she knows you've had too much TV time. Or maybe she turns off your Switch because she knows you've had too much video game time, right? She wants to protect your minds as well as your body. And moms use that remote control to help steer us away from bad stuff because maybe you made it to something you weren't supposed to be watching, right? Mom loves us in more ways than we can ever calculate. They're a gift from God. So let's make sure our moms know that we love them this Mother's Day and thank them for loving us even when they serve us veggies, okay? So you're going to get a chance in a minute to have baskets of flowers over here, and all of our moms are going to stand, and you're going to give them a flower. So when they get a flower, they're going to sit back down, but that way you know they've already gotten one, okay? And we realize that not everyone has a mom here, right? So you can also stand in honor of them. She's at the house, yeah. So you can get one in honor of her. All right, so let's pray and then wait for further instructions from Pastor Michael, okay? Hold on. Let's pray first. All right, close your eyes and close your hands. Father, we thank you so much for you. We thank you for paying the ultimate sacrifice so that we could live our lives freely because of the gift you gave us. Pray that we would all receive it. And Father, I thank you for our mothers, and I thank you for our grandmothers who stepped in the place of mothers as needed. We thank you for all you've given us and all you've done for us, and have your perfect will and way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Wait for Pastor Michael.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brenda. And it's that time where we want to acknowledge our mothers and our ladies here present in our service. So at this time, I'm going to ask all of our ladies, if you please stand. We have a gift for you, and our children's department and student ministry will be giving those gifts to you. Please stand at this time. And if you will, remain standing until you receive two gifts. We have two gifts for you. So just to help out with the flow, if you will please remain standing until you receive the two gifts. Let's give God the glory for our moms and our ladies today. And I'm thankful for our students, our young people, as they are distributing these gifts. Let's give them a hand for all of their hard work. And so, mamas and ladies, if you'll remain standing until you receive both gifts, and then at that point you may be seated, and that will help the children know where they need to go. All right. While they're doing that, I do want to share a funny little tidbit that I found in my notes pertaining to Mother's Day. What day of the year are the most phone calls made? Mother's Day. And then this is the funny. What day of the year are the most collect calls made? And that's Father's Day. So I think we all can appreciate that. All right. Give them just a few more moments. All right, that wraps it up. Let's give God the glory once again for all of our moms. And I'm going to ask at this time if Solomon Kateo Mazzoni would bring up his parents, John and Patricia Mazzoni, for our baby dedication, if they'll make their way forward at this time. And I'm going to ask my wife if she'll also make her way up as well. And just on a few personal comments, after our family had arrived here in June, it was just about a month later, and the Mazzonis gave birth to little Solomon, born on July 6th, 2024. And I believe it was just a few days later that we were able to go by and make a home visit and get a chance to pray over Solomon. That was a very special time, and so very thankful for John and Patricia and the entire family. You guys come up together. All right. In fact, let's get y'all on stage if we can. Isn't he precious? Aw. Hey, buddy. How are you? You sure have grown. Hey, buddy. How are you? All right. I do have a few passages of scripture that I'd like to read. And I know there's probably 1,000 ways to do a baby dedication, but the way that I'd like for us to do this today is I have a charge to mom and dad, to the parents. And then afterwards, I have a challenge and a charge to our congregation here at Meridian Baptist Church. But I do want to begin with some scripture references that would help us to think about what really a baby dedication means. The Bible says that children are a gift from God. In Psalm 127, verse 3, the Bible says, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from Him." As believers, we're called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. And God in His goodness gives children as gifts to parents. They not only have the awesome responsibility of caring for this gift, but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift. Because children belong to God and are given as gifts to parents, it is only proper and fitting that children are dedicated back to God. We are told in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, verse 22, we read that Mary and Joseph brought their baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him before the Lord. I'm also reminded of a passage of scripture in Deuteronomy that's referred to as the Shema, and you'll recognize this. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk with them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." And then I'm also reminded of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And so now I want to provide the parental challenge to John and Patricia today. And I want to speak to y'all as parents today. Love God with every ounce and fiber of your energy and teach your children to do the same. As you love God and one another, you will model before your children a wonderful love for God that they will want to have for themselves. Now, having come freely, I ask now that you enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and His people here at Meridian Baptist Church. By coming forward before God and His people, do you hereby declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and your precious child Solomon to the Lord? If so, please respond by saying, "We do."
We do.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you vow by God's help in partnership with the church to provide your child a Christian home of love and peace, to raise Solomon in the truth of our Lord's instruction and discipline, and to encourage him to one day trust Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior? If so, please respond by saying, "We do."
We do.
We do. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask now that the entire congregation stand together. We have a charge for you as well. You oftentimes will hear me mention the Meridian family. And I don't say that lightly. A lot of times that's what I'll write in my articles or my devotionals. But truly, that's what our church family is. It's a family, the Meridian family. So as a church family, I ask that you take a vow as well. There's an old proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. Parents have the first responsibility, but parents need help to support in that community that they're part of, in their church family. So now I direct my questions to the church family. By being present in God's house today, do you hereby declare yourselves to be the children of God because you trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life? If this is true, please respond by saying, "We do."
We do.
So that Solomon may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers, do you vow by God's help to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ to help these parents be faithful to God and to help teach their children in the ways of the Lord so that they may one day trust Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior? If you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying, "We do." Praise be to God. I want us to have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to ask my wife, Sarah, to present the gifts and the certificate for Solomon. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this sweet family. Lord, we're blessed to have them. Thank you for John and Patricia, their love they have for you as Christian moms and dads, Lord, that they have a desire to raise these children in the fear of the knowledge of the Word and of the Lord. Father, I ask at this time that you'd be with little Solomon. Father, I pray there's a point on his timeline that he would come to know you as personal Lord and Savior. Father, we pray as a church that we could collectively surround the Mazzoni family and just surround them with your presence and be a source of encouragement. Father, we praise you for all that you do, and we give you the glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, Sarah. Let's give God the glory. So we've got some gifts for Mom. We've got a baby Bible and a flower for Mom. And Dad gets absolutely nothing. So that's how it usually works, right? So again, let's give God the glory. Amen. Thank y'all so much. Appreciate y'all. All right. Brother Chris.
Remain standing. What a huge just encouragement it is for 2 weeks in a row that we get to take and just see what God is doing in the church. It was amazing to get to see so many people standing last week as we honored our seniors, and so many mothers standing today and following up with baby dedication. So God is moving in such a mighty way at this church, and we can't forget that. So let's just give it up. Let's just give it up for God right now and what he's doing in this church. Well, if you have your bulletin, on the very front is our scripture reading today. It comes from Hebrews 11:6, and it says this: "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in Meridian Baptist Church and in this community, God. You are growing a family. God, you are growing brothers and sisters and moms and dads and children. God, you are growing us into your people. May you continue to grow us daily. May we continue to seek you. God, that we may seek your face in the midst of all of the brokenness of this world, dear God, and of all the darkness of this world, dear God, that we will seek your light, your truth, your beauty, your goodness, God, that we will seek you. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity of worship. May we praise you well in this moment. Dear God, give Brother Michael the words to speak today that he won't add to nor take away from, but dear God, that he would speak solely what you would have him say, and that this room will be filled with open ears and open hearts to receive it. God, we love you and we praise you. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's take a moment to greet everyone around you.
Heavenly Father, dear God, we're thankful to be in your house today, solely here to worship you. We're thankful, dear God, for our mothers and what they mean to us, not only when we're babies, Heavenly Father, but they back us in life all the way through. What a wonderful gift you've given us with mothers. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to be with our church members that are sick. We have many on our cancer list. We have some in the nursing home. We pray that today, dear God, that you would touch them and let them know, dear God, that we love them, that we miss them. We're praying for healing, dear God, if that be your will. We pray for the upcoming events of our church, such as our June 7th event, Vacation Bible School. Heavenly Father, we lift that up to you. We also lift up our revival coming, dear God. We just pray, Heavenly Father, it would add souls to our church and workers, Heavenly Father, people that are willing to go out and serve you. Most of all, Heavenly Father, we lift up these tithes and offerings to build your kingdom. Keep us safe. Bring us back next week, Heavenly Father. We want to tell you we love you. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
What has a place for every plant creation, a path for every star to go. He drew the course for every river's journey. Now I know he has a way for me. I place my life in the hands of God. Those hands so scarred, now outstretched for me. Wherever it may be, over land, over sea, may thy will sublime, O thou God divine, be mine. Now in his will my soul finds life worth living, each day new blessings from
God's people said, amen. Amen. Take your Bibles and find Mark chapter 7, Mark the 7th chapter, and we are looking at a special passage for Mother's Day. Currently, we're in a sermon series about the attributes of God, but for our purposes today, I did want to make an adjustment for Mother's Day and to reflect upon the mothers in our life, and so there's a passage here in Mark chapter 7 that I really believe will be beneficial for us to consider this morning. Couple of interesting facts about Mother's Day. Maybe you know some of this, but I thought it'd be good to reflect upon today. And it's simply this: Mother's Day's history. Mother's Day was created by Anna Jarvis in 1908. Following the success of her mother's first mother, or the Mother's Day, Jarvis, who remained unmarried and childless her whole life, resolved to see her holiday added to the national calendar. Arguing that American holidays were biased toward male achievements, she started a massive letter-writing campaign to newspapers and prominent politicians urging the adoption of a special day honoring motherhood. By 1912, many states, towns, and churches had adopted Mother's Day as an annual holiday, and Jarvis had established the Mother's Day International Association to help promote her cause. Her persistence paid off. In 1914, when President Woodrow Wilson signed a measure officially establishing the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day, Jarvis would later denounce the holiday's commercialization and spent the latter part of her life trying to remove it from the calendar. Interesting. Here's a few fun facts about Mother's Day that I thought I would share. In the United States, 26.3 was the average age of a mother giving birth for the first time. Of course, this is just a couple of years ago in 2022. About 133 million Mother's Day cards are exchanged annually in the United States, according to the Greeting Card Association. Consumers purchase an average of 2.8 Mother's Day cards. I wonder how that works, by the way. Approximately 65% of card sales occur 5 days prior to Mother's Day. I can relate to that. I bought a card yesterday. More people purchase fresh flowers and plants for Mother's Day than any other holiday except Christmas. In 2016, the National Retail Federation estimated U.S. consumers would spend $21.4 billion celebrating Mother's Day. Most consumers will give cards at 78%, flowers 66%, or take mom out 55% in 2016, but more money will be spent on jewelry, $4.2 billion, followed by outings, $4.1 billion, and flowers, $2.4 billion. And then this is something Sarah handed to me just a few moments ago. It's called a mom's salary. A recent study shows that moms would earn a base salary of $36,968 plus $78,464 in overtime, totaling $115,000 total. By the way, I was joking. Sarah did not hand this to me. I was expecting for y'all to laugh when I said that, and you did not, but that's okay. Meanwhile, moms that work outside the home are earned a mom base salary of $39,763 plus $23,000 in overtime, adding up to $63,472 on their daily jobs. And so it goes on to calculate all that's worth. Here's the bottom line, and we can laugh and we can chuckle, but the value of a mom is priceless. Even the video that we watched at the very beginning of the service reminded us of all that moms do. And so on this Mother's Day, there's a lot of directions that we could go. There's a lot of passages that we could share. But I do want to draw our attention to Mark chapter 7. I know that in my own life, my mother passed away in 2007, so she's been gone for almost 18 years now. And she certainly left an impact upon my life. But I'm thankful for all of the mothers in my life. I'm thankful for my stepmother. I'm thankful for my wife. And I'm even thankful for my mother-in-law. I know she's listening as well. But I am thankful for all the moms in my life and those that have impacted my life. And I think we all can testify to that as well. So all throughout the Word of God, the issue and the topic of faith is addressed in various ways and described in various ways. There are passages that mention weak faith and strong faith and bold faith and rich faith and abiding faith and steadfast faith, dead faith and precious faith and common faith and working faith and little faith. And in our passage this morning, we read about great faith. This is an interesting way to describe one's faith. In the Greek, the word for great is the word megas. It's where we get the word mega. And so it's very fitting when we think about this individual that we're about to read about, this mom of great faith. She had mega faith. Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. And then from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know. Yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician woman, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now notice her response in verse 28. But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Let's pray together.
Father, we're forever grateful for the richness of your word. And Lord, we ask that as we come collectively together this morning, that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord, with our Bibles open, that you would just clearly help us to understand what the passage means and Lord, the takeaways that you would have us to take and incorporate into our life. Lord, help us to respond in a way that honors you. Father, we love you and we praise you and we ask this in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. This has truly been described as possibly the perfect Mother's Day text. And I want to give credit where credit is due. The outline that I want to use this morning is from author John Stott. And he gives us a few points to consider about this mom's great faith. So I do want to encourage you to look on the back of the bulletin today. And let's consider the marks of a mom's great faith, a mother's great faith. And this is truly demonstrated here in Mark chapter 7. The first thing that we can highlight is simply this. A mother's great faith is built on the foundation of truth. A mother's great faith is built upon the foundation of truth. Now, we live in a culture and society today where people are constantly building what they consider to be their own form of truth. And we also live in a culture and society today where sadly parents are not building their family and their home on the rock of Christ Jesus. But praise be to God for those godly mothers that love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that clearly in our passage today. We don't know all the details about this woman, but what is worth noting in verse 25, it says, "But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit." Immediately, the first thing we see about the great faith of this woman is it's built upon truth. In other words, she makes a beeline to Jesus. There is no hesitation whatsoever. She is a mom on a mission. She is a woman on a mission. And here's the crazy thing. We actually know very little about this woman. We don't know her name. We don't know her background. We don't know her history. We don't even know if her husband is still alive, how many children she has, or how she even found out about Jesus, or how she came to even believe in Jesus with such great faith. But one thing we do know, whatever she had heard about Jesus, that was enough. Obviously, she had known people who had seen Jesus do miracles. Maybe she had heard him speak about the kingdom of God. We don't know the details, and we don't know all that surrounds the circumstance and situation. But whatever she had heard about Jesus, may I say this to you today, she believed it. And she had great faith. She had mega faith. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. Again, we don't know all the details, but somehow she had heard the message of Jesus Christ. I mean, we can use our imagination for just a moment. We don't want to read into the text per se, but maybe someone had told her about a healing Jesus had performed, maybe a blind man or a crippled person or someone that was demon-possessed. Maybe others had told her about what he had said about God's kingdom and the message of repentance. Maybe others had told her about him being the Messiah the Jews were looking for. Again, we don't have all the information. We don't have all the details. But what we can gather from this particular passage was this is a woman with great faith. Whatever she had been told or whatever she had seen, this mom believed it. And little by little, her faith kept growing until it became great faith. And so we see this mom in action, and we see the love that she demonstrated for her daughter, and her great faith was built on the foundation of truth. I want to ask a question this morning, or really a statement and then maybe a question. The statement is simply this: we are all building our lives upon some sort of foundation, are we not? Maybe we are building the foundation of our life on finances. Or maybe we're building the foundation of our life on popularity or position or prominence or how many possessions we can collect. But hear me today, the only foundation to build your life upon is the rock of Christ Jesus. Jesus is the only way, and he's the only one. And so a mother's great faith will truly be built on that proper foundation. Number two on your outline, a mother's great faith is focused with purpose. A mother's great faith is focused with purpose. Well, how do we know that? Look what it says in verse 25. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. I mean, you get the impression that she had already been thinking about Jesus and her daughter, her possible thoughts prior to the encounter. Let's entertain that for just a moment. Maybe she thought, if I could just get Jesus to my daughter, I know that he could deliver her, but I don't really know where he is. He's probably miles away in some other town. I'm not sure how I would get Jesus to connect with my daughter. But now she hears and knows that Jesus is right there, and she immediately goes to Jesus, and the Bible says that she fell down at his feet. So again, number two on your outline, this mother's great faith is focused and with purpose. Lo and behold, someone tells her that Jesus is in her own town right down the street, and I can only imagine that her heart rate probably increased and that adrenaline probably started pumping in that moment. Because what she was hearing was too good to be true. She probably dropped what she was doing in that moment and ran out the door, ran down the street. And when she found Jesus out of desperation, the Bible says she fell at his feet. And so she was focused with purpose. We look at this understanding of the fact that she fell at his feet. And in the Greek, it gives the idea of worship. She truly demonstrated worship in that moment. And so it is with the godly mom. The godly woman will have a pure love for her children, just as in the case of this particular story. Here's a mom that is willing to do whatever it takes. Her daughter has an unclean spirit, and she wants her daughter freed from that, and she's willing to do whatever it takes. And so she finds Jesus, she falls at the feet of Jesus, and she cries out to Jesus out of total desperation. And that's pure love for a child. I know that when I think of my own life and my journey and my relationship with my mom, I know that my mom had pure love for my brother and I. She was a wonderful mother. I'm sure that you can attest to the same thing about your mom. One of the attributes of a mom is what? Love. And so we think about a mother's great faith. And this mother's great faith was demonstrated not only because she loved her children, but more importantly, she loved the Lord. Number three on your outline, notice this. A mother's great faith is passionately persistent. Verse 26 says that she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. The word begged, ereteo in the Greek, means to keep asking again and again. In other words, and don't miss this today, she was unwilling to give up. Her request implies that she had a strong belief that Jesus had the authority over the demonic world and could do something about her problem. It's a lot to take in. I want us to flip over to Matthew's account of this event. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 15. And by the way, anytime we study events in the Gospels, it's always good to practice what's referred to as the harmony of the Gospels. So we have this event recorded in Mark chapter 7, which we've already considered. But we also see the faith of this Canaanite woman articulated in Matthew chapter 15. And it's almost as if we can look at this event from another vantage point. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew from the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." This, by the way, is where we see that persistence. And he answered, Is it not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs? She said, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered her, oh woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. A mother's great faith is passionately persistent. Despite the severe condition of the daughter, despite the immediate silence of Jesus, despite the comments of his disciples and Jesus that seemed discouraging, she continued on and on and on. She persisted. And so when we think about a mother's great faith, it is truly passionately persistent. Number four, a mother's great faith is marked by desperation. Well, how do we know this? Well, look at verse 22 in Matthew's account. It says this, "And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.'" So we see desperation in her words here. She cried out, "Have mercy on me." She knew that she did not deserve the help from Jesus. She was unworthy. By definition, the person who asks for mercy is asking for something they do not deserve. But notice, she did not come demanding, but rather pleading. She wasn't commanding Jesus to do something. She was simply asking and begging for his mercy in that moment. It's also worth noting, by the way, that she referred to Jesus as the Son of David. This is a messianic title. And when people referred to Jesus as the Son of David, they meant that he was the long-awaited deliverer, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And so we see that great faith demonstrated simply in that title. Number five. I know this is a lot to take in, but it's worth it. Number five, a mother's great faith is honest. A mother's great faith is honest. How do we know that? Well, look at verse 25 in Mark chapter 7. We'll go back to Mark's account for just a moment. It says, "But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit." And then if you jump down to verse 26, it says, "And she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter." Great faith does not cover up the problem, does not pretend like there is no problem. Great faith admits to the problem and calls it for what it is and confesses the truth. According to Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, she said, "My daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." I'm sure that living with and taking care of this daughter was a nightmare, a pain, a headache. And again, we don't know all that was involved in this particular situation. But one thing we know, this mom, this mother truly loved that daughter and was brokenhearted over the situation. And she had deep faith and hope in Jesus that he could heal her daughter in that moment. Great faith is honest about the problem. And truly, we see this great faith demonstrated was an honest faith. Number six on your outline today. Matthew chapter 15, verse 23 says this, "Jesus did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying out after us.'" This is an interesting response. Here you have a woman who is loud about her need, but Jesus is silent in his response. But keep in mind, this is Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh. He reads minds, he reads hearts. He's the one in control, and nothing surprises him. He was intentional about everything that he did, and you can be guaranteed he knew everything about this situation. He was simply wanting to test her faith in that moment. And a mother's great faith will be tested. Mothers, ladies, hear me today. I know there have been times in your life timeline that you have had to face great tests, have you not? There are times in your spiritual pilgrimage that God will call you to be under the radar, so to speak, to be under the microscope, so to speak, and you're faced with a difficult task, whatever that might be. Sometimes when we put on the different hats as parents, we face great difficulties. But in this particular passage, we are reminded that there are seasons in life where we will face the tests of life. A mother's great faith is definitely tested. Number seven, I would simply say this. A mother's great faith is humble. Verse 27 and 28 of Mark chapter 7, it says this, "And he said to her, 'Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' But she answered him, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.'" In these words, she was expressing an attitude of humility. I'm thankful for the moms in my life and the different attributes that they demonstrate and show and how they live their life. And one of those attributes that is common within motherhood is an act of humility, a spirit of humility. A mother's great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be demonstrated with an attitude of gratitude and a spirit of humility. And we see that clearly in our passage today. Finally, I would say this. Number eight, a mother's great faith is rewarded. Verse 29 and 30 says this in Mark chapter 7. "And he said to her, 'For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter.' And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone." And so we see great faith is rewarded. I want to wrap up my message simply by sharing some thoughts about my own personal testimony. Doesn't mean the message is over per se, but just want to share a few thoughts. I know that in my own life, I've had a very interesting journey when it comes to the moms in my life. As I mentioned at the beginning of the message, my mother passed away in 2007, so it's been quite some time since I had my mom. But I really want to say a quick word about my stepmom. My stepmom has really been the spiritual rock of our family for decades now. When I was about maybe 3, maybe 4 years of age, my parents divorced. And it was about a year or two later that my dad remarried and entered into my life was my stepmom. And her name's Susan. And Susan at the time was not a believer in Jesus Christ. She had not accepted the Lord Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior. She had actually been raised in church. She had been raised in the Baptist church, for that matter, but somehow really never made that genuine commitment to Christ, and she had gotten away from the church, and she was just really not following the Lord. And sometime around 1980, maybe 1981, she was watching a Billy Graham crusade and was convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit that she needed Jesus Christ in her life. And she called out to Jesus for salvation. And hear me today, Meridian Church. Jesus radically saved her that day. She cried out to Jesus, and he saved her. At the time, I was maybe 5 years of age or so. And I remember growing up with my mom and my stepmom and my dad being raised with three parents. That was an interesting situation. But it was a good blessing. My parents had a very, by the way, my parents had a really weird divorce. It was so strange. They actually got along. It was weird. So my dad and mom, even though they're divorced, they got along. And wouldn't you know it, my mom and stepmom became close friends. They'd go shopping together. It was the strangest thing you can imagine. But it was my stepmother that really was the spiritual rock, because when she gave her heart to Jesus Christ, when she was watching that Billy Graham crusade, Christ entered our family circle. And they began going to church. And they got me into church. And eventually, it took a few years, my own biological mother, my mom, got into church. And so everybody was in church. But I give glory to God for what he did in the life of my stepmother. She was the one that helped steer the ship for the family. And I'm forever grateful for her spiritual leadership. So when I look at a passage like Mark chapter 7, and I see a mom that has such a desire to give God the glory, I can't help but think about my stepmother. I can't help but think about the moms in my life. And on this Mother's Day, I'm sure that you can relate to that. You can think back and think about your mother or maybe your grandmother or stepmother, whoever it might be, maybe your sweet wife. But that lady in your life that has been that anchor for the family, I praise God for that. And all God's people said, amen. I want every head bowed and every eye closed this morning as we come to the conclusion of our time together. There's so many more things I could say about motherhood and Mother's Day. Always a special day in the life of the church. But as we prepare for the gospel invitation, I want to drive one thing home. One of the things that Baptists do that drive me bananas is it seems like they have a special day for everything. There's a special day for this, a special day for that. Senior recognition, senior adult recognition, Mother's Day recognition, you name it. And I don't want to mock that. But I do make the argument that oftentimes those things can detract away from what's the most important thing, and that's Jesus Christ. We're not here today to honor our moms. We're here today to give glory to God and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, we can be thankful for our moms, and we can express that like we've done today. But I do want that reminder to our church family that it's all about Jesus. The Bible says there's no one righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Think about that for just a moment. If you call upon Him to save you and you're sincere, based upon the authority of the Word of God, He will save you. But the Bible does make it clear that sin separates us from God. We all have a sin problem, and something has to be done pertaining to that sin. And that's the good news of the gospel. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And so maybe you're here today and you need to give your heart to Jesus. If that's the case, in just a moment as we have a gospel invitation, I would be so honored to sit down with you and show you within the pages of God's Word what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I promise you this, if you call out to Him for salvation, He will save you forever. Maybe you're here today and there's another decision you need to make. Maybe there's a heavy burden on your heart. Maybe you just want to come and pray. This invitation is open to anyone and everyone. I would be so honored to encourage you through prayer. Finally, maybe there's another decision that you need to make, whether it be for church membership. Maybe you're looking for a church home. God is doing amazing things in the life of Meridian Baptist Church. And maybe you're looking for a place that you can come alongside a group of believers and roll up your sleeves as we serve the Lord together. I can't think of a better place to do that than Meridian Baptist Church of South Knoxville. And so if you're looking for a place that you can call home and you want to unite with our church family, in just a moment, I invite you to step out and we celebrate in your decision. Finally, maybe you need to follow in believer's baptism. You're a believer, but you've just never followed up with baptism. If that's the case, come today so we can celebrate in that decision. Heavenly Father, we give you this invitation. We thank you for the richness of your word that we can pull out of Mark chapter 7, the story of this woman that truly loved her daughter and showed such great faith. Lord, may we have that mega faith, that great faith as we see in Scripture. Father, thank you for our moms and the ladies in our life. We give you all the glory and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together, Brother Dennis.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me. Savior, Savior, hear. throne of mercy, find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief.
God's people said,
amen.
Folks, we've had a sweet day in the Lord's house, a beautiful day as we've taken time out to acknowledge our mothers, and we're so appreciative. The baby dedication service was beautiful and sweet. Let me give just a couple of announcements. So we do have a few things going on this week in the life of the church. Please remember our Wednesday night meal at 5 o'clock here at the church in the fellowship hall. And then we also have a Vacation Bible School teachers meeting, workers meeting, and that's an adult four, also Wednesday night, about the same time as the meal, but I think we can make all this come together beautifully. I think the meeting, Linda, is at 5:30, is that right? Okay, so just a few minutes after the meal, but we can, or that meal begins rather, but we can make it all happen and work out. So I did want to mention those things. Any other announcements that need to mention? I know there's a lot in the bulletin. Committee on committees, there's a form for you to fill out so they can move forward in the process of putting together our teams. We'd love for you to serve in some capacity. We need every member, let me say this again, every member to fill out a form. So please take a few moments and drop that in the offering plate at some point, and you do have a few weeks to do that. Any other announcements that I may be leaving out today? All right, Brother Arthur, come and lead us in our closing word of prayer.
You'll bow with me in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, dear Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your incredible beauty and the love that you show us. And we thank you for this beautiful day, dear Lord, and especially this wonderful day that we have to honor our mothers, dear Lord. I just pray your blessing on so many moms that have shown that agape, Lord, dear Lord, agape love, dear Lord, and given so sacrificially in our lives. And I just pray your blessing on the moms, and I especially want to pray for our witness, dear Lord, as we leave here today, dear Lord, and witness to so many people that need to come to know you. And I thank you so much for our pastor and staff, and I pray so much for people that are going through difficult times, whether they may be physical times or others, dear Lord. I thank you so much for so many blessings, and pray these things in Jesus' name, dear Lord. Amen.